I've sent out 100 resumes and I've not heard back from a single one. What's going on? Your experience is overrated. You want to be a solution provider.
Do you want to be the absolute best candidate for a job you'll love in a career with balance? Veteran leadership career catalyst Jonathan Flax is teaming up with leading executive search professionals to provide you with cutting-edge career transition strategies. Welcome to Career Transition Experts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Flax.
I have a great pleasure to introduce our guest today, John Tarnoff. John Tarnoff is an executive coach and a career transition specialist. He's a speaker and an author. The author of the book, it's a best-selling book called The Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career Over 50. And that's his specialty. He supports mid and late career professionals in defining, planning, and achieving more meaningful and sustainable careers. And that's what we're all about here on the Career Transition Experts. He's served companies including the Bank of America, very impressive Bridgewater Associates, and Thrive Global, many, many others. Welcome, John.
Great to be here, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being here. So what's the main thing listeners will get if they stay tuned to this episode?
Well, I think particularly if they're over 50, but certainly I work with people, in their 40s, I've worked with people in their 30s who are really interested in this concept of taking more control and being more in charge of their careers. Because I think what we're seeing as this crazy world of the broken hiring system continues is that we have to be much more self-reliant and much more strategic about planning and managing our careers long-term.
Got it. I'm gonna take the bait. What do you mean by broken hiring system? I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I just want to know what you mean.
Okay, what I mean is this. So when we were coming up, those of us who've been around for a while, you lost your job, so you got out your resume, you kind of put the most recent job at the top of the resume, and you crafted a cover letter, and you looked for open positions or companies you wanted to work with, and you sent out your resume and your cover letter, and you waited for someone to call you back and set up an interview. And you figured that if you sent out about 20, 30 resumes, you'd get 5 to 10 interviews, and people would be interested in talking to you because you had some background, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? I don't have to tell you this, that recipe doesn't work anymore. And I can't tell you the number of mid to late career professionals whose first remark to me when they learn what I do is to say, I've sent out 100 resumes and I've not heard back from a single one. What's going on?
Yeah, got it. Okay. So that leads me to the question, like, what are the challenges mid and late career workers are facing? How do they deal with this?
Well, I'm going to skip to something that's perhaps a little bit more philosophical around that, because I could say, well, the challenges are, you know, how do you get attention from recruiters? And they spend 6 seconds on your resume. How do you, you know, put the right keywords in so you can grab their attention? I don't think those are the real challenges. I think the real challenges are on a deeper level. And the first challenge for an older professional is inertia. This idea that you've been going along at a certain clip, you're good at your job, but you believe that just because you're on that track means that you can stay on that track and things are going to work out, that your experience is going to get noticed and people will take you seriously. And my message is the inertia is not going to work. You've got to change it up. You've got to up-level this sense of what you do and future focus it. So that's the challenge number one. Challenge number two is longevity. The fact is we're living longer. I don't know anyone other than someone on the Forbes 500 list who can actually afford retirement. Because when you think about how much money you've saved, you know, what's the number now? The number used to be, if you have $1 million in the bank and you're taking 5% a year, you know, that's a pretty good deal in retirement. Well, forget it. You know, you need well over $2 million in today's dollars to be able to start affording to maintain the lifestyle that you've got for the most part, if you have some track record as a white collar professional. Don't get me started on the idea of a 30-year retirement, because that's kind of actuarially where we are. So you got to think about how you're going to plan for that. And my prescription is not, oh, save more, spend less. It's work longer and do something that you really love doing, that you're useful at, and where you can really provide value. And then the third problem, the third challenge is ageism. This is not a surprise. This is a scourge on our workforce, right? It's the last ism. It's a diversity, equity, and inclusion issue that is not on the diversity, equity, and inclusion horizon, right? People don't think about age as a diversity issue, but it is. You know, you look at the hiring plans for a lot of companies. You may not know this, 8%, only 8% of companies that are engaged in diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives include age as a factor. So if you're an older worker, you're going to get washed out of the system. There was a study a couple of years ago from the Urban Institute and ProPublica that 56% of people over 50 are going to lose their jobs one way or the other. So if you're over 50 and you think, oh, I'm going to coast until I'm 60, 65 at this job, think again. The chances are you're going to be out on your butt by the time you hit 60.
Got it. Those are some challenges, and I appreciate you putting them squarely on the table so we can address them. I'm going to unpack it in a reverse order. Let's talk about age for a moment.
Sure.
A lot of people ask, you know, do you recommend people put on their resume something that might show their age, references to their age, or should they omit that and try to hide that because of ageism?
Yeah.
How do you recommend people seeking a mid to late level career change?
Yeah. I'm so glad you bring up this question because it is one of those top questions that everyone asks. And I believe that the conventional wisdom is very faulty. The conventional wisdom from most career coaches is omit your age, omit your graduation dates, only put on the last 10 years worth of experience on your resume or on your LinkedIn profile, and just kind of, you know, it's the Wizard of Oz. Disregard the man behind the curtain, right? You know, eyes over here.
I've seen dozens, hundreds perhaps of people's resumes where they have gotten advice from resume writers, that exact advice.
Yes. And so yeah, my view is the reverse. My review is, what are you trying to hide and what are you ashamed of? I believe that if a recruiter or a hiring manager is ageist and they have this bug up their butt about older workers for whatever reason, you're not going to change their mind, right? You can try twisting yourself into a pretzel. You can dye your hair. You can change your wardrobe. You can get whatever it is that you're going to do. You're not going to fool them into thinking that somehow you're younger than you are or that you're hipper than you are. If they don't want you, they're not going to hire you. Mm-hmm. And I have heard many, many stories about older candidates being called in on interviews only to find that they're kind of being interviewed as a curiosity. They're being asked questions about, it's like they're bringing in the grandpa to ask for stories, but there's no serious intention of hiring them. And if you manage to get through this kind of gatekeeping device and actually land the job, do you actually want to go into work every day realizing that you got the job kind of on a lie, kind of on a deception, right? I think we need to stand up for who we are, for how old we are, for the experience and the wisdom and the strategy and the critical thinking that we bring to the job, and figure out how to leverage those great qualities and present them as assets, not as kind of this abstract, oh, I have 30 years experience, which qualifies me to be in this job. No, your experience is overrated. Your experience is not necessarily going to apply to the future-focused problems that your prospective employer has. But if you have those solutions, by all means, I would lead with those solutions, lead with the wisdom, lead with the strategy, just don't tell them, you know, how wonderful you are and how experienced you are. Just let them figure that out. You just go there, be present, be future focused, and solve problems in that interview.
This is aligned with our philosophy and our experience, like what we see in the job marketplace. You and I probably could both say this is not theory, but we see mid and late career professionals getting hired for those strengths when they kind of take ownership of them.
Exactly.
So we feel the same way on that, and I hope that's encouraging to our listeners who are dealing with this and wondering about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be encouraging. You know, it's challenging in the sense that you got to dig deep, right? You really have to kind of look at the portfolio of your career and go, okay, well, what's really the most leveraged thing that I can do here, right? And it may mean that you leave a lot of stuff off the table that you think enhances your value when actually it doesn't. It distracts from your value. It's this idea that if you're trying to market a product to everyone, you're going to market to no one, because you need to find that recruiter, that open position, that company that really needs exactly what you do best and what you can stand up for best, and niche it down beyond where you feel naked and kind of hung out to dry. That's where you're going to get hired. Right. In that area of, oh, my God, I can do so much more. Why am I just selling myself on this one point? That's the keyhole that you're going to go through. That's going to get you in the door and get you hired.
That's exactly what we're doing now in my conversation with you, is really focusing on the mid to late careers professional, and thought leadership comes to mind. You talk a lot about thought leadership and your material. What would you say is your definition, or how would you describe what is thought leadership? And most importantly, how can someone use it to help them get noticed and hired?
Well, great question. I'm really glad you bring this up. So in essence, thought leadership is your ability to stand up for what you stand for. And as an experienced professional, you've got ideas about how the world works, about how your industry works. You've got experience, you've got insight, you've got perspective. And your ability to share that leadership, those ideas, and to really focus in on 1, 2, 3 talking points, if you will, the stuff that time and time again, the rants that you've got that you want to let people know about. And you find ways of doing this, whether it's online, offline. Online, LinkedIn, of course, is fantastic. All of the groups, all of the ability to post. You want to develop your voice, because that voice becomes a trusted example of the kind of thoughtfulness and strategy that you bring to the job. Mm. And if I'm an employer thinking, you know, what is this person's, if you will, extracurricular value beyond the fact that they can show up and do the work and do great work? It's, are they thoughtful about this? Are they thinking ahead? Are they going to help me do a better job of thinking about my business than just showing up and doing the work? Mm. And then you multiply that out across your industry, not just online, but offline, in terms of getting involved in industry groups and events and going on panels and speaking on podcasts like what we're doing now. And really, for people who think of themselves as introverted, and by the way, I am a total introvert, the total introvert, very shy person, but not about stuff that I care about. So I have no problem talking to you about this stuff, because this is where I live every day. And I would submit to you that anyone on this session who's got some strongly held beliefs, and by the way, make them positive. You want this to be positive. You don't want to be a snark, right? You don't want to be kind of, you know, complaining and whining about the way the world works. You want to be a solution provider, right? So if you can be constructive and positive and enthusiastic about your industry, about the role that you have, the work that you do, and talk about this in a contextual fashion, that's thought leadership.
Yeah, really, really great. You know, what you're speaking to also is about a person's value proposition. And you mentioned LinkedIn. You know, if we could dovetail all this together, how does someone make sure that kind of, those thoughts? Everyone's got to dig. If you don't have them top of mind, you want to dig and find what are your unique value proposition statements? What are the things you're willing to speak up about and stand for? And then how do you use LinkedIn to make sure they get presented so people can find them?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure you do this a lot in your work. And it really, I think, goes to, for me, the really leveraged aspect of LinkedIn in this connection is the about section. And yes, your headline's important. And by the way, your headline should never be your job title. It really has to be the roles. And I would suggest two or three, maybe even four, if you can fit them into the 125 characters, the roles that you do and the adjectives that go along with that. You want to kind of create this initial impression on the person who's browsing through countless profiles that you are someone in their ballpark, right? Whether it is the industry you're in, it's the role that you do, kind of the experience, the focus that you have, the kinds of problems you like to solve. And then if you get that attention in the headline, the about section is not a kind of a rehash of your resume, of the roles that you've had, the positions that you've had. Your about section is who you are and why you do what you do. And if you think about this from a marketing and a storytelling perspective, you know, people hire people. They don't hire skill sets, right? The skill set is the vehicle that the person uses to get stuff done. But why do they do this work? Why do they love doing what they do? You want to kind of create the rapport with that target. And the about section is the way to do it. And I would recommend a kind of a three-prong approach. One is kind of that why, that origin story. I encourage people to kind of talk about the origin story. When did you decide that you wanted to do this line of work that you're in? And then what are the two or three top accomplishments that you're the most proud of that that moved the needle? And then the third aspect.
You got to focus on accomplishments that produce results for your past employers and the teams you've worked with.
And the
markets you've served so that future employers can see what kind of future they can count on in terms of results.
Yeah.
Right. So that's key to the value proposition. Yeah. Yes.
That's very, very key. And then the final aspect of the about section to me is this idea of an aspirational statement. You want to close with this sense of where are you going in the future? It's like, so what good is all this experience if you don't know where to apply it? And I believe that aspirational statement, certainly at the end of your about section, but kind of woven through it, is your real conversation starter. And that's where you connect with people and they go, I'm going to message this person and connect with them right away because I want to further that conversation that this person is starting.
Really, really great. One last question on the topic, and then I have a few I like to ask personally. Let's talk for a moment on finding the hidden job market. Most of the people we're talking about are in the leadership and management kind of roles.
Right.
And according to LinkedIn, only 15% of those are secured online. And most of them are through networking.
Tell us
about your view of networking and the hidden job market. How can seekers tap into that?
Right. Well, it's really all about the hidden job market at the end of the day. And back to the initial statement about, you know, I've sent 100 resumes out and I haven't gotten a call back. Well, it's because those people are hiring on the hidden job market. They're hiring internally and they're hiring through referrals. And I mean, you've been in this position. I certainly have been in this position as an executive. The worst thing that you have to do in that job is fill an open position. It is a pain. Write a job description. Oh my God, do I have to really write the job description? Can't some intern write this for me? I mean, this is back to the broken hiring process, right? What I would much rather do if I have to hire someone, instead of expecting HR to deliver a list of candidates and a set of resumes, I'm going to pick up the phone and call my trusted advisors and say, look, I got a position. Here are the qualifications. Who have you got? Right? I would much rather hire a referral. So that is the essence of the hidden job market. And in order to tap into it, you have to network, right? You have to make your network your number one priority, not just if you need a job, but especially if you don't need a job, because that's the best time to network, when you don't want to, or you don't need to ask anything of anyone. If you're doing it because you want to meet really interesting people who do interesting things, and you can connect with them and build rapport, build relationships. And then when your career changes and either you need to find a job right now, or you're thinking about making a change, you can start talking to your connections and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What are your thoughts? Who should I meet? Who can you introduce me to? And then you begin this process of tapping into what is essentially the hidden job market. And you find yourself in a meeting one day with someone who says, you know, we really haven't been looking for anyone, but you're amazing. And you actually could do something which we've been talking about doing for years, but we never found the right person. And you're it. And we're going to create an open position for you because you can really help us. And I don't know about you, but I have gotten jobs that way. I have created jobs in my career as an entertainment industry executive out of nothing, where in one case, they were going to shut my team down and fire me. And I saved it. I went, no. Before you do this, how about this as an idea for what this team could be doing? And here's how it relates to where you're going as a company. And they turned around and said, oh my God, you're absolutely right. And they renewed me for 3 years to do this. And, right? I mean, and when I got my job at DreamWorks Animation, they weren't looking for anybody. I had a friend over there who said, oh, it'd be great if you came over and worked here. We should have someone like you at the company. And I said, well, is there an opening? He said, no. I said, well, let me start meeting people over there. 6 months it took me. 6 months later, they offered me a great job.
That's not a terribly long time in the span of a career.
It's true.
It really does underscore that companies will create roles as they are growing and expanding beyond their existing concept of what's open.
Exactly.
Got it. I'd like to ask my guests a couple of personal questions if you'll entertain them. Do you have a favorite band, songwriter, artist, or composer?
So I'm a big fan of The Who. And they were always like my favorite band growing up. And a lot of the songs, interestingly, so I did this TEDx talk in 2012. And the title of the presentation is "The Kids Are Still All Right." And I was referencing back to that Who song, "The Kids Are All Right." And, you know, they kind of came in with this really smart, targeted and political idea about what became the boomer generation. And, you know, songs like "Won't Get Fooled Again." I mean, I think, you know, this kind of a cautionary look at authority. And I always thought that they were rebels with a brain. So that was one of the things I loved about The Who.
Love it. I'm a big Who fan. We play them in a number of bands I've been in. And I was with someone yesterday, just spoke about The Who yesterday. Her birthday is May 15th. And I said, oh, 5/15. Have you ever heard the song? She's a young person. She hasn't heard it yet. So today I'm going to make sure she hears that song.
Yeah, great.
Finally, any causes that you care about that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, one thing, I mean, I know you're asked this question, and one thing that occurs to me when I think about the most consistent day in, day out focus I have, it's actually NPR.
Got it.
Because I just really believe in news and information and connecting people to really in-depth reporting about what's going on.
Yes. National Public Radio, for someone who might not have heard that correctly, NPR stands for National Public Radio. John, thank you so much for your passion, for your insights and wisdom and your energy. We're really grateful to have you here as a guest on the Career Transition Experts. We'll put your contact information in the show notes and we'll be in touch real soon.
That's great. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay, bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to the Career Transition Experts. We hope you got something of value and would love to hear from you on what you did learn and how this episode made a difference. If you'd like to contact or reach our guests, take a look at the show notes, and you can also find there a link where we will send you a free copy of our resume preparation checklist. If there's anything we can do to help you fulfill your vision and make that transition smoothly, contact us. We are here for you. Thanks again for listening. Hope to see you again soon. Bye for now.